Okay, so we've moved it over onto the other IA.
Yeah. I mean,
she's running it.
My view on this was that the need for people to back up their data personally was made sufficiently clear to lab users. I mean, I guess.
She didn't miss it.
Right, okay. As long as she misses it, then that's fine. I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes when there's a process error like that, you think, oh, then there's something that should change, like make the sign in bigger red letters. Right. I, in our case, I don't think there's anything more we can do, really.
No.
So. Well, I doubt anybody will do that again because that'll get around.
Joking, worrying.
Yeah, we've got the mailing list out now, isn't it?
Yeah,
so everyone should know about it now.
Yeah, there was a mailing list before. Mm-hmm. They just revived that, right?
Frank went through it, deleted the people that were have gone or whatever, and replaced sort of the
right,
guy.
Okay.
The list is now updated.
Yeah, so everyone on that list is now being reminded. Yeah, don't store anything sensitive on. Yeah, don't store anything you care about on the machines. So.
Yes.
Right. And we don't know, so there's every chance of this falling over again if it's a hardware thing, right?
Yeah.
There's not much we can do about that apart from.
Yeah, I did do hard drive check and memory check, and it says there's no problems, but something caused it to go wrong in the first place.
Yes.
So
no, yeah.
We don't know. We'll just fingers crossed and hope. It's just a software thing that we can just fix like that, and that'll be it.
Yeah. So how long does this put you back for? Is it, how much disruption does this cause? Is this a day, 2 days?
Yeah, routine a bit last week, at the time, I think.
Yeah.
And then it'll be, hopefully, no more than, 20 minutes to be.
One more try and get done today. Yeah, get Windows back on there, try and get Camtasia on there, and get that test today. And then that'll be, I think that's everything we need before you start running the experiments, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I saw a bunch of stuff about software updates. That's unrelated to this problem, right?
You mean from.
I didn't read them. I saw like 5 messages go back and forth. Maybe they were under the wrong subject header. So anyway, we have.
Nothing over the last week. Joe has produced another version of the model builder.
Oh, no, I think Aaron software.
That was a few weeks ago. Yeah.
So it's unrelated. It's not.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
And was running because Frank. Did all that because he then had an experiment, so he's running an experiment.
Yeah. So, did he get his data in, or is this put his schedule back?
He's done his.
He's done.
His,
okay.
Yes. And he backs up.
Right. Unfortunate, but it sounds like you guys are well placed for dealing with it. So better you than me.
I'd managed to get things working on Monday, so everything went down on Tuesday morning. So I managed to get everything working on Monday, to show that the JCT was actually working, collaborating between the two machines.
Yeah.
I didn't have the eye tracker stuff working because it was just me running around the lab. So after once it's reinstalled, I'll have to actually do a proper.
So you need to borrow somebody's head and alpha and stuff to run it, right?
Yeah. But it looks like it was doing all the calibration and drift correction things that Ellen was wanting on it. So,
yeah.
So I don't think there's anything to add to the software for that part.
Mm-hmm. So I've got a new trainee who might need amusement at some point. So if you need to borrow a head that talks that doesn't necessarily need to do much else, I'll ask her if she'd mind coming down and helping you out for a while. But I guess Ellen was going to be your.
Right. Yes, but she's not around, so.
Mine is. Well, she's actually climbing Ben Nevis today, I think. but she'll be back tomorrow. Her name's Nuka. Did you guys meet her?
Don't think so.
This is so
a long time familiar.
Might find amusing to look at, so I'll see if she'd be willing to.
I did meet someone from another project of yours on Wednesday evening.
Oh, who's that?
Heidi.
Oh, yeah, Heidi.
Gesture.
Oh, yeah, she's good.
Yeah.
You guys might actually have something in common because she does, stuff with video coding and gesture.
Yeah.
And autism.
And autism.
She
has been volunteered.
I will actually give you the option, but it sounds like the kind of thing where, it's it's quite useful when you're at that stage to see the different kinds of technologies people use.
Yeah, so trying to get Camtasia up and running so I can try it out when we've got her coming. I'm going to sort of do a once we're a proper pilot, just to
make sure it starts and finishes when it's meant to and that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll make sure they can actually pick up the audio signal as well. But the audio signal should be coming out of speakers once it's set up properly, so that should make that slightly easier.
The bleep is a hardware bleep originally, and so it comes on the PC, which is outside the soundproof box.
Oops. Well, you've done that then.
Yeah. But yeah, so unfortunately the speakers are on the monitors inside the room, so as long as, and what I've done, I've just got it set up, so the whatever the asterisk sound is in Windows is what gets played. So
right.
So you can just change the sound to whatever you like, just through the Windows control panel.
Okay, so we want one you can pick up using MATLAB or something, right?
Yeah, so I'll have that running over the weekend. So last week I tried it with the 1 kHz sound, and it was, it could detect it, but it wasn't very clear. Did it with 10 kHz, and it's just really clear. You can tell exactly where the beep is.
Perfect.
So yeah, so it's just a matter of you could basically just play 10 kHz sound over the speech, and then just compare the two signals basically. So I've got a little script for doing it. So.
Perfect. So you're going to bank the script someplace?
Yeah.
Tell us how to run it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
Because we won't know. Right. Well, that all sounds good.
What else? We have altered the task program to put the little eye icon in the mouse.
Yeah, the one in Jeff's installed should have that now. We'll double check on the install on the my tracking machines, but yeah, should be updated with that now.
Rather than just a blob, Helen wanted something with more looking eye, so that he knew that was the eye.
Oh, really?
It.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we've got like a big circle with a white circle in the middle for an eye, and we've got like a rectangle with two like rectangle buttons on it for a mouse.
Okay.
So.
Very nice, very pretty. It doesn't get in the way of seeing what's underneath?
Oh, no, they're the same size as the original blocks, basically. I think the mouse is slightly bigger, but it's not hugely bigger. So.
I can see why that's useful.
Yeah, and if it gets a very problem in the pilot, I can easily reduce the size of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not too hard.
Like a reasonable size, so that if they're looking at it, we know they're looking at it. So it has to be a reasonable target for the tracking purposes.
Yeah.
Although, if you had a big thing and it was jiggling around like anybody's business, like real eye track cases, then you might find that a little bit disconcerting. I mean, small things you kind of expect to jiggle around, right?
Mm-hmm. This was a larger, more oscillation appears. So it's not, I mean, it isn't
that big, so.
It's quivering. You know? That's all fine. What else? You're saying Joe with Model Builder.
Yes, he's produced another version that doesn't have the overlap problem.
The
collision, so polygons now don't.
Oh, that's good.
Marlowe's discovered something strange about the orientation of parallelograms from when it was constructed to when it appears in the actual task. But I think that might be something to do with the original configuration and the parts that weren't the same across the two. So I'll check that out to see if it really is a problem or not.
Okay.
Basically, the parallelogram was appearing in a sort of as a mirror image of what it was like in the Model Builder.
Really?
Yeah. Just totally flipped in a mirror image, not rotated, so it wasn't anything to do with rotation.
Just the parallelogram?
Yeah, just the parallelogram. So. Not entirely sure. It must be some way of how the vertices were described or defined in one way compared to something else.
Right. Okay. So your job in this is to ensure that it actually is a bug, and then pass it to Joe.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, this geometry stuff is really tricky if you don't do the full box and stuff in your head well. So I can imagine.
Well,
because I can get it backwards easily, you know. So it is just as many
The other thing we've done looked at, not for this current experiment, but for future when we've got to build bizarre parts like aircraft wings and things. Something like Xfig can output the vertex points for creating the actual polygons in the first place. Because the model builder assumes that there's an existing set.
Yeah, so you need
parts,
to draw them in.
So you need to draw them in.
Oh, so yeah, I suggested you do that in Xfig. Is that a reasonable thing to do or not?
Yeah, yeah. So you can do them in Xfig, export them as SVG, and you just get a comma, just get a list of XY coordinates, and then I'll just run a little script that turns those XY coordinates into a part.
Yeah, so this falls down completely if Nijmegen can't run Xfig. So you better check that with him.
Well, the thing is, it's SVG, so long as I've got something that'll allow for SVG.
Okay, but then they need help finding the something if they can't do Xfig, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, so I'll have a look at that. But there must be plenty of Windows things that I can add for SVG. But I know.
Microsoft, though? I mean, well.
I know Adobe and things have packages that do it, but also they're like a few hundred pounds.
Yeah.
But I'd be very surprised if there wasn't a free package for doing it. I have a feeling that the was it Amaya, the W3C browser does it. I have a feeling that can actually edit SVG files.
So I wouldn't do any work to try and find out what'll output SVG. Just ask them. Look, you know, say you need something that does SVG, and then if they come back and say huh, then you may need to poodle around a bit looking for something. But you know, let them say they've got a problem before you. I'll spend time trying to figure out what to do it.
It's not an immediate problem anyway, but I thought it was worth, before Joe disappears, just checking that the model builder is not restricted to just doing the tangrams or something like that.
Yeah.
So, no, it just looked like it's...
I can imagine there being shapes that you could construct in SVG format that would fox the model builder in some way. I don't know, I mean, because you don't have specs about what sorts of shapes are allowed.
No, but as long as there's solid polygons, it should be right.
Right, it doesn't matter whether they're convex or concave in some way.
Well, hopefully that's not what the parallelogram problem is, because it does have angles and things.
I've created a convex part just the next week.
It just
happened to be a convex part that I was playing with, so it hadn't like fines. It didn't have any self-intersections, so that might be a problem. So I'll have to check that. But
would we want, by self-intersection, you mean?
Yeah, but that part that crosses over itself.
You mean like?
Yeah, so like we'll only be working to see the sort of solid, obvious polygons and this part. Because they'll have to have a central point anyway for rotation.
Well, but by self-intersection here, I'll draw here. If I can find the right end of the pen. Do you mean something like that?
Yeah, that sort of thing, yeah. So.
And you can rule out something like that, right? Because
well,
that's two parts.
Well, I would consider that two parts, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some rainy day, you might want to think about. Well, I don't know. I mean, later on, we can fix it if it turns out there's parts. It's not urgent now. I think this isn't important enough.
Yeah, so for now, we'll just do that non-intersecting. At the moment, the SVG stuff can act for ones which aren't closed polygons, but once they actually turn up in the parts list, it creates a closed polygon just by linking them endpoint to start point.
Yeah.
So, as long as they're drawn well enough, it should be alright. We'll suppose let Nijmegen find an SVG.
Yeah.
So find the SVG, and then we'll see if there's any problems.
But if they have trouble, you know, half an hour googling and helping them is probably worthwhile.
Sometimes
people, I mean, actually, I wouldn't expect them to have any trouble finding something because JP's quite up with all these things.
Might be worth just checking what software they are using because it might create output slightly different from Xfig.
Well, let's encourage them not to use. Any software that might have idiosyncratic ideas about what SVG is, she says delicately.
Microsoft version of SVG or something.
That I wasn't going to say. I have no idea whether they have idiosyncratic SVG output or whatever. The track record on some of the other standards has not, there have been slightly strange things about it. But Amaya, you know, I mean, that should be.
That should be fun. Yeah, I think it does SVJ, but so I can need to double check if my main can't find anything.
Yeah, I haven't looked through other mail. I did see something from others. Is there anything they're waiting on from us that is a problem, or are they reasonably happy at the moment?
I think they're not waiting anything from us. They've dumped the pilot studies that they generated based on the task with their English participants or English
Oh, they're doing
participants.
pilots.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
But they haven't done anything with it other than
Dump the data.
dump the data.
Where is it
They
dumped?
they dumped it on the BSCW
BSCW.
server, but I moved it, I copied it onto the
Well, that's okay. You know, we're not using that much space if it's just for interim. And they have to get it from somewhere.
Yeah.
We had a brief discussion just before I left about this idea of exchanging data by FireWire Drive. And I don't know if that ever got resolved, but
Nothing further is.
you know, that's not fast enough for little things like this. I think BSCW is the right way to exchange these. We just have to wipe this stuff off and keep separate copies after that.
And I've sent the thing off tomorrow. Trying to encourage you again to register for the CSV and
The
work at
CBS.
CBS and what to do and which bit of software I use. It seems to be quite easy.
Oh, so you're managing that okay, and you haven't run into CBS before?
No.
Okay.
Well,
Well,
yes
good.
and no, as in yes, it's new and no.
Yeah. Well, that's
But
reassuring.
so far, yeah.
Of course, he's sitting on the next desk.
Yes. And I am just using it through a Windows bolt-on sort of piece of software.
Yeah, that was easy enough to install though, wasn't it? It's
Yeah, straightforward and then
copy and paste the stuff out there after working, so.
Right click things and Windows Explorer, that's it.
Yeah, well, she'll have to use the CBS in Excel because we don't really have a good way of doing this otherwise.
I was going to double check that when I got access to CBS from home when I was working from home last week on Thursday, I managed to get in and just check the stuff and make sure it was all make sure I could access it. So they shouldn't have any trouble accessing it once they've got the logins.
No, that's it. We'll never see him here again.
Not
Well, I'm glad that he's got a better computer at home as well.
Not yet, I'm afraid.
Right. And what about the project as a whole? Is there anything that Lou or anybody is after that we aren't supplying? Not at the moment,
Nope,
right?
not at the moment. The only thing that's been going around is the version of the flyer. I don't know what the real purpose of these little folded up A4 flyers
They're critical to the successful project, so.
I mean, just for distribution at conferences, things are really.
And general places, but yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it unless
Well,
I
I'm not
paper.
really bothering, but that's what's circulating the group as a whole at the moment. I've sorted out travel, etc., to Munich
Oh, yeah.
for Ellen, John, and myself. And we're all off on the 14th December. Coming back on Friday.
And John's going.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. That'll be useful for the WP7 stuff. So. Well, while you do that, I'll be trained in how to hire people. So.
That's weird. How to hire or how to interview, is that
Both.
Right.
So, is there anything else? What have you got on for the rest of the week besides getting this stuff up and running again?
Well, once I've tried out the Camtasia Asia stuff, obviously, if there's any problems, go try and fix them. If there isn't any problems, next thing I'm working on is the GDF stuff.
Yeah.
So I've put on a DTB and a sample XML file on the wiki for the GDF. So it's based on some stuff you put on there on the GDF specification.
So are you concerned about it that I should be looking at it, or are you happy with it? I mean, I sort of wrote the initial draft of it, I suppose.
Yeah, I changed a couple of things from your original draft. So there's no longer a separate thing for creating new parts. So we just put a start and end time on each part.
Um,
So
Slowly.
you had a thing called, I think it's mold or something you said, which is sort of to create a new part, was an action to create a new part. But I gave each part a start time and end time, so you can see when the parts were created. So I'm
Okay.
not sure if you want to keep the mold or not.
I'll have to look. I can't remember how this works now because it was a while ago.
Yeah, it's just the GDF specification page on the wiki.
So.
I'll try to get a justification for the change I made on the page. I'll send it out for review so anyone who's going to be using the format can have a look at it.
Yeah, then you'll get nothing back unless I look at it. So, best for me to do that. It's really good that you're putting things out for review and saying like why for stuff, but we also don't want to burn too much of your time recording stuff that nobody's ever going to look at necessarily. So, I mean, this might be a good case for it, or it might be that you should just like, talk to me about the stuff if I happen to be around at the time that you're doing it and not. So, if the writing stuff down on the wiki gets to be too high a proportion of things, then you don't necessarily want to do it. Do you know
Right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think it's great to have the records, and that's really important, especially in big dispersed groups. But this is kind of a smaller group, so we can do things more informally where you feel the wikis are getting in the way of things.
Yeah. Well,
So.
the one thing saying this, I mean, it's helpful. It was helpful for me to put it up on the wiki because I could actually think about it as I put it up and say, well, this is why I want to do things this way.
Oh yeah, well if
So.
it aids you in thinking to write it down, then definitely write it down.
Yeah.
Because yeah, we want clear thinking. I can't actually remember how it worked with the mold. I mean, I wanted to make sure that. No, I can't even remember. So I'll look at it.
Yeah,
But
fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm sure it's fine because it's just my memory of things.
I'll have to get to grips with Camtasia properly
Yeah.
to generate the little sort of introductory video, I suppose, for instructional purposes at the beginning of the experiment, so people will be able to see
Oh yeah,
and sort of example movements and things like that.
yeah. So is that going to have a voiceover, or is it? We've had discussions before you started about whether it should be completely silent, so that they could use in case they ever wanted to do this
In Dutch as
in
well.
Dutch. Yeah. And so you could just have sort of well, there, I think we discussed having it with an English voiceover, having it with no voiceover, and then having it just with cartoon noises or something like boof or when things break,
Right,
so you can't
well,
have
that
the
must have been
silence.
before me, so
I may be imagining it.
well, I know on Camtasia, if you've got a Camtasia project, you can have the video and audio stored
Sync.
separately, in which
Oh, so
case
we could produce a Dutch voiceover for the same thing.
so we just send the Dutch team, the video and our audio, and then they can easily create their audio out of
Exactly. Yeah,
from
so
there.
I mean, I think it'd be more sensible just to do the video part of it first and then you add the voiceover afterwards
Yeah.
rather than trying to do it all at once.
The other issue is if we do a voiceover, does that affect the language that the people
Might
choose to
use,
use?
or
So
if
that
they
might be
know
another
that you're
reason for not
doing
doing that.
anything with the voice. You start talking about
Alignment or whatever, yeah.
Talking about the parts, it's just naming them or anything like that.
Yeah, so I think maybe that was another reason for just having
Or no noise, in fact, I think it's probably.
or ding for you got it or anything like that.
Probably actually not even the sound effects, because otherwise they'll expect that in the real experiment. And that doesn't happen. So if
Well,
they
yeah.
move a piece and it breaks and they don't hear this crash, and they go, oh, what's, what's
Yeah,
happened? Is that really what happened?
well, you need some way to make sure that they actually notice the thing you're trying to explain to them if there's no voice.
Yeah.
One thing that Camtasia can do, you can have little videos, and I don't know if you've got any cameras for doing that, you could have videos of people clicking on the mouse and so on, or whatever else.
Or you could just point to, the great big arrow that points at the two pieces that broke.
Yes, I think
Maybe.
you can generate
You
uh,
can do yeah, you can generate call outs and whatever, so. Well, yeah, I'm sure there must be a way of putting big arrows or whatever.
So you're gonna clear or how are you doing this for that one, right? Cause she's the one that has thoughts about the language, so.
Yes, but in our discussion, we haven't mentioned, it was assumed it'd be a voiceover, but.
Well, remind her that there was a question about what we're arguing on.
I'll do that. Yes, cause I've got to think of the instruction, so, basic introduction to all as well, so. Actually, I did email Nineveh to ask if they had a set instructions they'd given their.
I don't mind, he's just talked to him.
Probably, I suspect so, cause I haven't had a reply back.
I think it's gonna be up to us too.
Yeah, to make, it was just in case they had.
It's hard, you don't wanna give them the specification, you know, cause that's in too highfalutin a language, but. It can't be that hard to generate something that says.
No, I should give, just before it's not there.
Oh, on my holidays, we encountered a children's toy shop where there were tangrams. And my son reminded me that he hasn't been able to find his tangram set.
Oh, right, you want to give that?
Well, not if you guys are using it.
It's not.
Do you find it helpful to have?
Yeah, it's, well, actually, I could probably just photocopy the manual.
Oh, but it's so tactile, it has little metal bits. If you're using it, keep it, he's got plenty of toys. If you're not using it, then I'll take it back.
Hopefully need it for more than another week or two anyway, so.
Yeah. It's not a worry, the lab has plenty of toys.
I was looking at the complexity sort of aspect of the tangrams in that booklet. It's not quite that they just get harder, it's they kind of have pages of similar types.
Oh, similar types, uh-huh.
Yeah, so one page will have sort of parts that are kind of similar to each other and then you move over and it's a different almost type of design or style.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as progressive in complexity as.
Right, so how are you gonna get your complexity ratings? Google.
Google.
Is there a big tangram community that ranks these things? Like, you know, that's just one booklet that came with one set of tangrams.
I'll try. Never know what's
or is it obvious, like when you look at these things?
Well, I'm hoping the Dutch input will allow us to sort of have a rough idea of what was of suitable complexity.
Yeah. But that still won't tell you. Well, how many tangrams are there that they're using? 15 or something? No,
not even that. Of this relevant type to what we're wanting to use, probably 3. We've generated 16 to.
So that's not going to tell you anything about relative complexity. That's just going to tell you where in the span you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You still need some kind of scale for these things.
Yeah.
If you look at them, do you just know?
No.
No.
Well, I do. I don't know.
What about him?
No.
Mr.
Enough.
Geometry. Can you tell us by looking at these how hard people find them? Or?
I wouldn't know. No.
Okay. Well,
I'll try to Google and see if there's a if there are some sort of ranking sites or.
Who in psychology already uses tangrams that's still around? People have been using tangrams for ages, so there must be somebody with a folk wisdom you can contact.
I'll try and find out. I don't know offhand.
Right.
Or.
I only know ancient papers, so like late 80s. Do people still use tangrams?
I've not encountered them.
Oh, so we're very old fashioned.
Maybe they just don't use anything like that.
Well, we're stuck in the 70s and the 80s, right? So
I'm not sure if anything's happened
since then. Right. Well, the old past is the best. So I'm not going to let that worry me. So that was, I think, a big diversion. And we were talking about what you were going to do next after all this stuff was up. And I was going to look at the GDF spec. Is the rest of what you're to do with that software fairly clear? Because this is about the analysis.
Yeah,
You
so
really only need Robin, right? To
yeah. So I'm just working
specify
with
the
Robin
rest.
what analysis we need to get out of the GDF format. So I'm gonna basically, I've got the Jest Analyzer's got the basis for a ASCII to GDF converter. So what we're gonna do is
Okay.
actually create an output, a GDF output part to it. Because any output's video, but it does have internal structures which make it easy to do the XML. So that's what I'm gonna look at. And then once I've done that, I can look at the whatever analysis we need to get done out of the GDF.
Yeah, because there were these issues about how you calculate II lag and, what are the analyses we want out of this that aren't settled, but I think, Robin is the person who knows the most about what's required there. And I can imagine it's going to take a little while to sort of get that. I can imagine, so that might be the focus of discussions next week or something, like that, to get
Train
anything out of
yes,
it.
pull in parameters and choose the right settings.
So you might want to try and come, if you get that far, try and come equipped with a list of the kinds of things you want out of it, and so we can look through and see. Alan might help you solve all kinds of things once we have a list, right?
Armchair RPs on it.
But it'd be good to, make sure once we have a list of the things that we think we're getting out of it, that it matches her intentions for what we were supposed to be developing. So, if we do talk about that, then it might be nice to have her along for it.
I haven't found it physically yet, but a reference to a 1992 paper, it's in the Royal Proceedings or something or other, somewhere, based on an experiment that had blocks, a model, blocks, parts, and then an area where people had to build, replicate the model out of parts. Just one person at a time, of course, but it did involve eye movements and monitoring where they're looking compared to the hand movements
Oh yeah, who
and
was that then?
Ballard.
Okay.
Back in 92.
Are they still in the business?
Yes, I think so.
Where are they?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, they might have focused him on the complexity, right?
Yep.
So I might choose not that one.
So I should
Well, it
study
is
pretty
really
well.
bad. Is it bigger you can get?
That's what I'll have to try and find out.
Well, they still do it for library loans and stuff, so.
If not, the National Libraries might have it.
So did we think next week that's what we're going to talk about? Because we don't want to ask Ellen ahead of time if she wants to come along for a discussion about.
She's not here next week anyway.
Oh, well, that's fine then.
It's next Wednesday or Thursday before she's back.
Okay. Oh yeah, her stuff is getting blocked off the mailing list because she's not mailing from her normal account.
Oh, is that what? Yeah, she's got a Yahoo account or something that they can
Yeah,
forward it
and
to.
I can't figure out any way to just approve messages from her without her subscribing at that account. So.
Oh well, it's okay. It's things haven't been getting through.
There's only one message so far. It didn't say much. Anything else?
Get working on the campaign stuff this week, and then so once I've got some idea of what analysis I want out of this, I can think about whether GDF's got everything we need in it, and yeah, what analysis we can pull out of
Certainly,
it.
there's the provisional list of what we need on the wiki anyway.
Yeah. So I'll double check the GDF specification against that just to make sure it's got everything you say you need from that.
But I don't think that list is our final word on things.
Well, I added things to it.
Oh, well, maybe it is
Well, I don't know when the last looked at it, but when I added it, it was something in the last 2 weeks anyway.
God, I don't think I was fully paying attention with that. I'm not going to have these on this anyway. What I'm really worried about is making sure that there's no big surprises for Ellen and JP, when they suddenly discover that they're
That's what they're
assuming some
getting.
analysis is in there and we didn't put it in. Because now is the time for us to be figuring out what we want out of that data and getting you to write the stuff or getting JP to write the one-dimensional analysis that he was talking about.
Yeah, the thing, we've got all the data from the ASCII format at the moment, it's just a matter of what data we need to pull out of that into the GDF so we can actually do the proper analysis. Because I think all the answers are going to be run off the GDF format, because we decided that if we were look, if we're looking at dynamic regions and whatever else, it has
it's
to
the
be
dynamic
GDF.
regions that I think might cause a bit of trouble.
Yeah, which is yeah, which is why we have to get off the GDF as opposed to the EDF format.
Oh right, okay. So actually, you're breaking this down into two steps now. One is straight extraction from the ASCII, and the other one is any post analysis that, that adds information by analyzing it. Is that
Yeah. So the GDF, it's got so it's got your the old the stuff in the EDF, such as the ASCII files and things like the mouse movements and things like that.
Yeah, it's
and
just
then,
anything that's got shoved through the iTracker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the GDF can also it will also have information such as right at this point in time they were looking at the new parts area, or they're looking at the
Okay,
target.
That is post analysis. Yeah. So.
So yeah. So the GDF is going to have that sort of information in it, and then. Also, because it's an XML file, we can then the XSLT or whatever onto it to get extract whatever bits of data you need for, yeah, for whichever bits of amount that we're trying to do for it. So.
Yeah. Oh well, that all sounds good. So, I've got one thing to check and one person to ask if she'll volunteer to be ahead. And as far as I know, that's it for me. See, I have to explain for one of my other things, there's now a specific wiki page that says stuff Gene has to do. I'm beginning to think that this is quite a good idea because I worry about not doing the stuff people expect of me. Much more than the other way around, right?
Well, I think according to the latest documentation, you're down for 5% of your 15 months on this project or something.
What documentation?
Some JAST report.
Oh, okay.
Officially.
Well, it doesn't actually make its way into its my salary.
Into reality.
Sure. But yeah, I mean, I do spend time talking to you guys. So, I get something we'll use some of the software Craig develops will be useful for my other projects. So it's not a completely one way thing.
So I hope you get something out of it as well.
I happen to just, you know, like working. Keeps me running into childcare.
You see, it's better than that, is it? Right, okay. Exciting family wise last week then.
Last week was interesting. So, well, one of the highlights family wise was going to Arcachon, which is this huge sand dune on the southwest coast of France. So it's like, I can't remember. I'm not very good with measurements, but anyway, my husband says it's the biggest sand dune in the world. So you climb up on this flight of steps and then put a line on top of the sand dune.
they put steps up over a sand dune.
Yeah, well, I'm always worried about these things because it's amazing how much sand the small children can shift. So
just by standing
in. Yeah, well, or big eyes, right? So, in the UK, you don't go on sand dunes, right? Because there won't be any sand dunes left if you do. There doesn't seem to be quite so many people there.
Mm-hmm.
But you still would have thought that they wouldn't really want people standing on the top of it, unless they combine with great big bulldozers.
Yeah, well, in the middle of the night, do they get and shovel it back up?
I don't know how this works. So, but anyway, it's quite fun. We did the very French thing, so it's just the French countryside. They didn't have anything except wine and ducks.
Wine and ducks, right?
Yeah, and a duck. So I stuck to wine.
Goat cheese as well, at least.
Oh, goat cheese, yeah. And I brought back some walnut oil for them. I can only get a huge bottle, and my husband's going to probably be willing to try it once, and then I'll have to. So if anybody needs walnut oil, then. but it was good, you know. Markets open in the morning. Everything closes between 12 and 3. No sense trying to do anything, which suits me fine. So, you know, we actually went to the market, and then I prepare some nice meal. And then
not
sit around,
yes.
play some badminton. I got to cook for once, it was good.
So you're a keen badminton player?
My son likes badminton. So, well, you know, as sports go, it's about as far as I go.
Well, I'm looking for lots of people to play badminton.
Oh, really? Well, my son says I'm a keen, very good badminton player, but I'm not sure he's ever seen.